This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Hours after authorities announced they arrested 22-year-old Tyler Robinson in Utah in connection with Wednesday's killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, his neighbors in Washington, Utah are speaking.
As Tyler Robinson was growing up, Kristen Schwerman says she knew him well. She lives only three doors down from the Robinson family and was a custodian at his elementary school.
He was very quiet.
She says he did very well in school and scored high on the ACT test. She thinks social media changed him.
I think a lot of it's mental health problems we have.
Alex Stone, ABC News.
Robinson is expected to appear in court Tuesday. The Department of Homeland Security says an ICE agent pulled over a vehicle in Chicago Friday, and the driver took off, dragging the agent who shot and killed the man driving. The officer's in stable condition. And the mayor of Memphis says he did not ask for federal troops deployed by President Trump in a crackdown on crime. This is ABC News. American college campuses have been overwhelmed by hoax security threats, and one swatting incident this week ended with real consequences, says ABC's Eric Katursky.
A fake threat leading to a real shooting at the U.S. Naval Academy. That turned out to be bogus on Thursday, but the academy was locked down over fears the purported shooter was posing as police. In the chaos, a midshipman shot on the shoulder after confronting a security officer he thought was a gunman. It came at the end of a day that saw more than a dozen hoaxes, many of them, police say, racially motivated, targeting historically black colleges and universities, along with other schools, including UMass Boston.
No tsunami threat to the U.S. after a magnitude 7.4 earthquake struck Russia's far east. So far, there have been no reports of damage or injuries. And the Guinness Book of World Records confirmed Friday that a sunflower in Fort Wayne, Indiana, nicknamed Clover, is the tallest ever measured. It's 35 feet tall, the size of a telephone pole. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Pacific Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. As cryptocurrency continues to rise in popularity, so do scams associated with the loosely regulated digital currency. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
Cryptocurrency ATMs, or BTMs, allow people to buy digital currency using cash or a debit card. Fraud complaints about them increased by 99% in 2024, according to FinCEN. There are hundreds of them across the state, which are often referred to as federal safety locks by scammers. Courtney Anclam with AARP Wisconsin emphasizes anyone can fall victim, and more often than not, those who do are losing thousands to tens of thousands of dollars.
You might get contacted saying that there was suspicious activity on your bank account. You need to take all of your money out of your bank account because it's been compromised.
Two bills aimed at tightening regulations for cryptocurrency ATMs have been introduced in the Wisconsin legislature. The proposed laws would add to new BTM regulations set by the State Department of Financial Institutions this summer. They include daily transaction limits, mandatory registration for ATM operators, and anti-fraud policies like warnings on machines about potential scams. And Clam says they are great first steps toward enhancing consumer protections.
But we also know that folks need need to know warning signs of a scam so that before they get to the crypto ATM point of the transaction, they maybe start to become more suspicious and start to realize that this could be a scam.
The proposed measures also look to further expand consumer protections by requiring users to undergo rigorous identity verification during transactions and proposes to potentially refund fraud victims if they report the crime within 30 days. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a thunderstorm, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 80. Tonight, partly cloudy, could see some patchy fog, lows in the low 60s. Sunshine and 85 on Sunday. For Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 87, 88 the high on Tuesday.
Right now, it's 65.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, WGBW afternoon host and actor Eric Westfall joins in studio. Then Mental Health Warrior Film Festival founder Max Blaska joins. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Kind of got a little different show here on Thursday. I asked Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin to come on again and talk about what's happening politically here, and especially with what happened yesterday. And also, we got Bob Blake from Red Lake coming on a little later doing the same and then giving us an update on Solar Bear with the solar news. But before I get to Arvina, I just want to remind everyone on Saturday, September 13th, our walk team, Team AM 950, will join hundreds of other teams supporting Recovery Connections Walk for Recovery on the grounds of the Minnesota State Capitol. So I'll see you all there. It's the 15th annual Walk for Recovery. And other Recovery Month events are a way to celebrate recovery, show your support, generate hope, reduce the stigma, and the offerings proof of that recovery is real. And so I just want to throw that out there. I'll be out there, and we'll be out there this coming Saturday. I asked Arvina to come on. Robert Lilligren had another very important appointment to do, and we're really blessed to have Arvina come on, Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, and kind of talk about, talk me off the cliff here a little bit, especially 24 hours after this tragic event that we do not support at all, but it's just, there's a lot to unravel here, and so I'm very grateful that Arvina could make it. Welcome, Arvina.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. This has kind of made me kind of have to really think about my feelings about everything and what happens next. There's lots of possibilities, and a lot of those possibilities are scary.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess for me, I really didn't know much about Charlie Kirk until today. I know I heard a few quotes over the years, and I didn't realize how important he was to the Republican Party and this last election with young ones. So that was really interesting to see. But also what came about with that too was his rhetoric that really is pretty upsetting. Again, no one deserves to be murdered, but it's also, we had some representatives here in Minnesota shot, and the president didn't reach out to our governor. There was no half staff at the flags like's happening in Washington now and around for this person. So I just, again, feel, I don't know. I talk me off this cliff here, because it's really, one, an interesting time that's happening. And I don't know if it's like the 60s. I was very young during then with all these assassinations and these things going on. Help me, Arvina.
I mean, I guess, first off, I am someone who has a lot of empathy, probably a little too much empathy for all. I mean, let's be real. I feel empathy towards inanimate objects at times. So the events of yesterday, you know, as an empathetic human being, I am really sad about the fact that one of our fellow human beings would, you know, had his life cut short in such a violent way, and that he, you know, was a young husband and father with two children that now will just grow up with memories of, and I mean, maybe not even memories, I think they're that little, but, you know, stories of their dad instead of being able to have experiences with him. And that's sad. I mean, on a human level, especially, that is really sad. And I certainly have a lot of empathy for his loved ones that are navigating such a quick and tragic loss that they didn't anticipate. But I also can recognize that a lot of the things that Charlie Kirk has said and said with his full chest, this is not someone who was shy about sharing his opinion, mm-hmm. And his thoughts on things. And a lot of the things that he said showed that he would not have the same empathy for any of us. You know, he did not show empathy for Representative Hortman, you know, or anybody else that is not aligned with his political views. You know, he actually said that empathy doesn't have a place. I'm trying to recall his quote about, you know, empathy is a made up word.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's okay to have that empathy for the human loss. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think that kind of empathy is something that makes us human.
Right.
And that's okay. But I also know the kind of harm that he has caused so many people, and so many people that are dealing already with all of these systems of oppression that already face them, you know, and so just adding on to those, I don't want to just call them troubles, but like adding to the burden that a lot of people, you know, trans people, Black folks in particular, you know, he frequently said terrible things about people that are different from him. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was just reading a post about a professor that he deemed too woke, and he put her on a list.
Yeah.
And that list was on the Turning Points website, and she had to have additional security. She was getting, you know, crazy emails, phone calls, etc., because he said that she was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that put her into the added violence to her life, put her in danger of violence happening to her and all the other names on that list of professors doing their jobs. Yeah. So I understand a lot of people having very complex thoughts, mm-hmm. and feeling sad or feeling empathy with the human aspect, but not wanting to canonize this guy, because a lot of the work that he has done has hurt so many of us. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean hurt in some kind of like, oh, I got my feelings hurt kind of way. Mm-hmm. You know, things that added to the struggle of so many people. And I'm also really saddened by the disparate response, mm-hmm. of people on the other side of the aisle, on the right, who had no such empathy for Melissa Hartman and her family. Was it Representative Hoffman?
Yes.
And his family. You know, there was not this kind of outcry or kind of, you know, this sense of empathy from the other side.
Yeah, and that's, I agree. Arvina, let's take a quick break. I'm here with Arvina Martin, Emerge Wisconsin, and a fellow Ho-Chunk. This is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I love Angela Lang, and I think Dan Schaefer is great. Dan Schaefer could replace me in a heartbeat. Angela Lang could replace me in a heartbeat. There are so many more talented people. I'm the only one willing to get up before 4 a.m. to do the show. You get the guy old enough to have to wake up and pee, and that's the whole business model behind this show. You're welcome, Mr. and Ms. Middle America.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Back to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Arvina Martin, our friend here from Emerge Wisconsin, and we're talking about these times and how crazy it is. We just had a school shooting, which seems like a long time ago here, but it really isn't. And then on the same day of the Charlie Kirk, assassination, there was a school shooting in Colorado. So we can't get away from this gun violence that's erupting here in this country. And I don't even know if that's the right word, erupting. It's been here and it's just coming forward. Again, Arvina, thanks so much for coming on and helping me talk through this and process this this craziness that's happening here in our country.
Yeah, you know, I am really sad too about the school shooting that happened in Colorado yesterday. Mm-hmm. I believe there is still one kid in critical condition, and that is tragic. And you're absolutely right. We are like weeks away from the last big, the last school shooting. I mean, I'm sure that there were incidents in between, but ones that are, you know, that make the news. But then this one probably would have made the news, but it didn't because it happened almost at the same time as the shooting of Charlie Kirk. And so, you know, we know which one's going to get headlines, which is, it feels very crass to say something like that in a situation where it's all the competing for attention, where it over events where humans died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not on the front page, I'll tell you that. I've been looking around, scouring the internet about what we're going to talk about today, and it was hard to find even Associated Press. I'd have to go a deep couple pages in there even just to find it. You know, I don't know if you've seen this, but I've seen at least three or four on my social media feeds and also on YouTube watching Charlie Kirk be murdered. I mean, in real time, it's like shades of JFK and RFK. But I don't think we saw that much after that. Those assassinations happened. And I'm seeing this, and I don't know if it's because of the phones or what, but I'm really kind of going, I can't believe how much, you know, YouTube and these places haven't blocked this.
That was very distressing. I just opened up my Instagram feed and they have autoplay. So, you know, it just started going and I, at the time, didn't know what was happening. So I was, you know, kind of thinking in my head, well, what's Charlie Kirk saying now? And then I saw him get shot and collapse. And like that set off I physically reacted. It shocked me. And I am like, it scares me again that this came up, you know, because, and it was the first thing in my feed. It just automatically started, you know, it wasn't hidden. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't a warning. People will mock trigger warnings or content warnings, but for something like this, absolutely there should be something, because there's something very, it feels wrong to be watching and rewatching the moment that someone's life ends.
Yeah. It's, you know, crazy.
I heard somebody say something during some of this coverage that, you know, the Zapruder film was locked up for decades.
Yes.
And no one saw it. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to happen. And now I think one of the smaller side effects is that we're going to have to be more careful about how we use social media, how we mindlessly go through our Instagram feeds, just, you know, cause we have a minute between calls.
That's amazing that you felt the same way, because I was like going, I don't even really have to go look for this, and it's coming right at me. Arvina, let me just switch gears just for a second, because I wanted to bring this up in the top of the show, and it's on my notes, and I have totally forgot because of what, you know, well, I've just totally forgot. I had relatives of relatives that died at 9/11, and I just want to give this day a solemn shout out to, and your thoughts. I forgot to bring that up on the top of the show. And I really wanted to bring it up with you too, because it's just another thing, and it's exhausting, and, it's life or death, and, it's exhausting.
Absolutely. And we also have to know that this is the context of what we experienced yesterday as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a heavy feeling in the air, you know, and for me, as like, I don't know anybody or have connections with folks that lost their lives that day. But again, as a human being with empathy, that day was awful. I mean, you can't use a strong enough word. And I know, you know, as someone who lived through that day, think about it every anniversary. Like, I do think about it every anniversary and how things have changed. And and to have this act of violence happen in the midst of the, of this kind of time of contemplation that I think September 11th brings to a lot of people is it just adds to the heaviness of all of it. And I think the fear that people have of what is going to happen in the future, because we remember not knowing, you know, once people realize we're being attacked, you know, a lot of people thought what is going to happen next. And that unknown, that fear was so strong. And I think a lot of people are feeling that now too.
Yeah, it is a parallel. You're absolutely right. I know I was teaching at the time, and I saw it happen, or somebody mentioned to it to me in the hall as I was heading back to my class. And we turned the TV on to see the second plane go in. And then we knew something was up. And yeah, one of the things to Arvina was how eerie it is. I live in St. Paul, and you can hear the airport from the distance. We don't have planes going over our neighborhood, but you could hear it from a distance, and how quiet it was for the next week because there was no planes except F-16s flying around. It was that I'll never forget that too.
Right. I mean, it's eerie, and makes you think about the little things in the background that you always take for granted until they're not there anymore.
Yeah.
And something small like that can just add to the gravity of a situation.
Well, I just want to say I really appreciate you coming on, and there are parallels with 9/11 and the eeriness that we feel. I really, really appreciate you coming on, and I just wanted to reach out to you because I feel like we have a great conversation about what's going on nationally, politically, too, here, and just to talk me through this today. And we didn't really get deep into it, but I feel a little bit better about being able to talk it out and also, you know, touch base with you about how you felt, because I really felt weird about seeing that shooting all the time. And I'm glad you feel the same, and it's not just me.
Absolutely. And you know, I want to remind you and everybody listening that these times are extraordinary. And, you know, like my daughter said to me during the pandemic, Mama, I'm sick of living in historic times. The unknown, the uncertainty is an unpredictability of everything. It is very overwhelming. And, you know, I just want to encourage everybody to feel your feelings and know that maybe your feelings are conflicting with each other, but that's okay. And to really kind of let yourself feel those things in a healthy way so that you can learn from it and kind of maybe reassure yourself or just processing it and take care of yourself. Make sure you're drinking water, because we all forget. My mouth is really dry right now, and I'm like, I forgot to drink water today. So, you know, stay hydrated. Make sure that you have time to rest. Try to make it so the thoughts aren't so intrusive.
Wow. Great words. And again, Big Peeny Geek, thank you for coming on and talking us through this and talking me through this. I really, really appreciate you and to spend this time with us. And you were on twice this week. That's a record, too.
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks. Arvina Martin from Emerge Wisconsin and our friend and our Ho-Chunk, I really appreciate you. Up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake. I always like to say that, with Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we'll be continuing this conversation. So thanks again, Arvina.
You're welcome.
News from the Center, WRCE. ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Hours after authorities announced they arrested 22-year-old Tyler Robinson in Utah in connection with Wednesday's killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, his neighbors in Washington, Utah are speaking.
As Tyler Robinson was growing up, Kristen Schwerman says she knew him well. She lives only three doors down from the Robinson family and was a custodian at his elementary school.
He was very quiet.
She says he did very well in school and scored high on the ACT test. She thinks social media changed him.
I think a lot of it's mental health problems we have.
Alex Stone, ABC News.
Robinson is expected to appear in court Tuesday. The Department of Homeland Security says an ICE agent pulled over a vehicle in Chicago Friday and the driver took off, dragging the agent who shot and killed the man driving. The officer's in stable condition. And the mayor of Memphis says he did not ask for federal troops deployed by President Trump in a crackdown on crime. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
The Brewers cut the cards.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Brewers beat the Cardinals last night here at AmFam Field, 8-2. Christian Yelich with his 28th home run of the year. Pitcher Quinn Priester on the Brewers getting their 90th win of the regular season.
Just really, you know, feel like we're proud of the work we've done. You know, we know that, you know, we control our own destiny. The ball's in our court and just do the things that we've been doing, you know, all year and keep this moving and keep winning and control what we do.
Game two of the series tonight. NFL, Packers Hall of Famer Sterling Sharp was on hand for Thursday night's game at Lambeau Field and was asked what he thought when they unveiled his name in the stadium's Ring of Honor at halftime.
Well, I can't see that far because I have to have retina surgery on the 26th, so I was trying to look at the Jumbotron to kind of get a glimpse, but I know what it means, and I know how it feels to be recognized at this level for doing one thing, and that was just wanting to play football.
That's Packers Hall of Famer Sterling Sharp with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a thunderstorm, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 80. Tonight, partly cloudy, could see some patchy fog, lows in the low 60s. Sunshine and 85 on Sunday. For Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 87, 88 the high on Tuesday.
Right now, it's 65.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 4th, Native Nations asked the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the longstanding right of individuals to bring voting rights complaints to federal court. If the High Court takes the case, its decision could have consequences for voting rights protections under the Voting Rights Act. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians and the Spirit Lake Nation negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts which didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit Court decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. The decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the VRA. Of 450 VRA Section 2 cases since 1982, only 18 were brought by DOJ. May 14th, a three-judge appeals panel affirmed that decision, but still only for the Eighth Circuit. After a July 15th stay, the nations asked the High Court on September 4th to take the case. Spirit Lake Nation Chair Lana Jackson Street said, "It is shameful that when we succeeded in court and got a fair map in place, the state turned its attack toward the Voting Rights Act and a person's right to vote free from discrimination. We need the Supreme Court to protect our fundamental right to vote and be heard." We have our past reports on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend news and sports headlines and discuss Suicide Awareness Month and why the rates keep going up in the state of Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Hey, 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 hey.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Again, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio, and we have our friend Bob Blake from Red Lake and the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're talking some national stuff here right now, Bob, and the gray cloud over this country with all this gun violence. And thank you so much for coming on today, and we'll be talking about a few things, but I just wanted to lead off with that, in that it's 9/11 and the anniversary of that, and so it's a pretty heavy day, and I appreciate you coming on for a couple segments, Robert.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Robert. Wow, that is a lot to take in.
Yeah.
It's, 9/11, the tragedy of that event, and how, you know, our country has, they built the One World Trade Center there. I was down there, Robert, to see some of the stuff, and it's amazing. It's really overwhelming when you walk through that space to see all that.
Yeah, we took the tour, which I didn't want to do, and it's been so many years, but I think Wendy and I took that tour last year or maybe the year before, but we held off for a long time just to see that because, you know, we're old enough to remember that day. And I was talking to Arvina in the last segment, kind of touching about, I couldn't believe how after that happened, weeks after that, how quiet the airport was because they didn't have anybody flying and they didn't know what was going on, if it was a big attack or more attacks coming. And here we are again now with gun violence here that is making this day a real sad day, and we can't forget about the young ones that were shot yesterday in school, and then, of course, the tragedy that happened here a few weeks ago in our school shooting here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, now more than ever, you know, we need our leaders, you know, we need our, you know, our folks, our communities to come together to, you know, get everyone through this. This is a lot, especially for our young people, like you said, Robert. For them to handle right now, to take in. And I just want, like, all of the adults out there to remember, those young people are watching us. You know, they're like, seeing how we handle this, seeing what we do, seeing what we talk about. I always love that quote from Martin Luther King that says, hate can't drive out hate, only love can, you know? Yeah. And, I always remember that when these tragic events do take place, that, you know, at the root cause of all this is hate, and hate doesn't have a place, you know, here, and we should really love our neighbor and learn to come to some type of, you know, common ground, meeting of the mind, so to speak, Robert. With our disagreements, it's okay to disagree, but we can agree to disagree. You know what I mean? We'll still respect one another.
And my deal too, specifically with Charlie Kirk, was that he was no friends of ours. He was attacking us, but no one deserves to be murdered. And so that's the one thing that I want to say too, is because of the quotes that, you know, I didn't know as much about him. And it's funny, I don't know, did you watch Salt Park at all this last year, where they're really going after Trump?
No, I haven't. But I love Salt Park, by the way. I was a Salt Park fan watcher.
The second show of the season had I think its name, I can't remember their names, Kyle, the heavyset one. His hair was like Charlie Kirk's, and he was doing the same kind of thing. Matter of fact, he was under a kind of a overview, like where Charlie Kirk was yesterday, and it was kind of bizarre too. But again, I don't follow Republican stuff, and I didn't realize that this person had a lot to do with the presidency flipping over to Bush. I mean, to Trump. So he was a big hero to the Democrats or Republicans, and there was just a lot of hate coming from from him. But again, no one deserves to be shot or assassinated. I just want to say that. And it's the times we're living in here. And we just had a couple people murdered here that we both know. Hortman and her husband, and there was no call to the governor. There was no reach out from Trump. There was no half-staff flags like they're doing for him. And it's really apparent that I guess liberal lives don't matter as much as Republican lives in a lot of ways. And that's something that is really new in the last 10 years for us to witness.
It is. And it you know, really shows, I mean, unfortunately, that the way this young man lived his life is the same way that he was kind of gotten out, right? How he ended it, you know? Yeah. You know, I think that has a lot to say about the energy that you put out there is the energy that you get, right? And it's really, you know, sad that that had to be, you know, his ending. I understand he's got a family, a young family, yep. You know,
yeah. They were there.
And, you know, that's, you know, my heart and, you know, my prayers go out to obviously those young kids because they have nothing to do with this. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, you know, but I think this is a good lesson for, like, you know, for everyone, like young folks too. Like, I mean, how you decide to live your life. I mean, how you decide to go out every day, and be a part of this world. You know, I always go back to the, invisible contract that we all sign, Robert. There's that invisible contract that we sign to live in society. And some people will say, oh, well, that doesn't matter to me, or I don't have nothing to do with that. You know, you know, but you know, we do, Robert. And it's that invisible contract that we all sign to live in the society with one another, to act accordingly, to abide by laws, to, you know, do right by others, to help move all of us along.
Or stop at stop signs, for God's sakes, you know? I mean, just those things that we take for granted that we do every day, I'm with you.
Yeah, the social contract, that's what it's called. The social contract that we all sign to be here. I think we all have a responsibility. And, you know, I'm not the judge, jury, and decider of Charlie Kirk, but, you know, when you spew that kind of violence, you spew that kind of hate, I don't really necessarily feel like he was living the social contract. You know what I mean? And, unfortunately, that's what happened. And, you know, I just think people need to really, 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 like, before you do anything, stop, ask for help. We need to put more money into mental health services. We need to get serious about gun control, you know? And I mean, and we really need to be able to look at this from a holistic point of view of, you know, putting money back into our educational system, because it's through our educational system, Robert, and you know this as a lifelong teacher, that's where the gains and the advantages and the opportunities and, you know, and the ability to be able to see the different ways that, you know, one could work through whatever issue it is that they have with either you're a Democrat or a Republican. They can work through that themselves to figure out a better pathway forward. And, you know, we all know that the educational system was cut back in the early 80s, and they've been making cuts ever since. Mm-hmm. And we need to start investing into our kids and our youth and our future again.
Wow, that's a really good point, and that's like a whole nother show. But, God, I don't know if you remember this, Bob, but I'm old enough to remember where people came all over the world to see what Minnesota was doing about their education, because we were a beacon of education across not only this country, but the world. But just being worn down, like you said, since the 80s, you know, there's a lot of unfunded special ed and things like that, that the monies don't really get to the school student. And so you're absolutely right. And it's an amazing thing to see here. We got a couple minutes, Bob, in this segment, and I'd really like to talk to you in the last segment about the Vikings, and I know we're on 20 Wisconsin stations, so we're going to have to be nice to them, but we can talk good things about the Vikings in the next segment.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the Green Bay Packers signed Micah Parsons, which I think is going to be one of the turners of this division. So kudos to you, Green Bay Packers, for signing the best defensive end in the entire NFL.
Before we get into the Viking talk, I'd like you to, if you have any solar bear with the solar news, and then we'll talk about it in the next segment.
Yeah, you know, Robert, I do want to say one thing real quick about the solar bear with the solar nose, and I want to talk about the solar canal down in Arizona that was put together with in conjunction with Gila River Indian Reservation. This is one of the biggest 1.6 megawatt of solar panels over canals. It's going to make sure that the water doesn't vaporize into the air. It's also going to cool the solar panels, producing more electricity for the Southwest, and you know that it gets hot down there. Mm-hmm. I think this is a very ingenuity project and successful project. And it really shows the way that states, federal government, and Native American tribes can come together to fight climate change and be able to preserve reliable energy for citizenry around in that area.
That's awesome. And a breath of a positive air, which you always bring to Native Roots Radio, Bob. I really, really appreciate you. We got like 30 seconds. Is there anything else before we get into Indian Viking talk next segment? Or I should say football talk for you Wisconsin people.
Yeah, I was just going to say that there is going to be some re-looking at the Department of Energy Loan Indian Program, and hopefully there will be some good things that will come out of that that will serve Indian country. So really excited for those things happening on a federal level, but we'll see how that happens and how that rolls out.
Yeah, and it's so great that you're all over the country. There's sometimes you can't come on the show because you're speaking somewhere, and so people listening to Bob Blake with Solar Bear of the Solar News knows that your street cred is very big for us here on Native Roots Radio, and I really appreciate you coming in. And now we're going to be talking a little different in the next segment, but again, thank you so much for coming on. It's a big deal to me, and I appreciate you. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and I'm here with Robert Blake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we talked a little bit about what's happening here and politically, and now we still have a little update here on what's happening, Bob, and then we'll get into a little Vikings and Packers talk.
Yeah, Robert, I want to be able to just highlight this conference here. Mm-hmm. It is the Tribal Advisory Council on Energy. It's the TACE conference, and it's going to be at Grand Casino Mille Lacs in Onamia, Minnesota, September 18th and 19th. All tribal nations in the state of Minnesota will be there. And this is the first ever tribal energy forum by the TACE board. So TACE is the first basically tribal energy advisory board that's in the state in the United States. There's 50 states, and we're the first. Mm-hmm. This is the first one. Minnesota was a part of this legislation and got this passed on a state level, and it is state funded. And the idea around this is to be able to help tribes navigate the energy landscape. And with a lot of transmission that is being planned around the state of Minnesota, these lines are going to be running through tribal territories. And tribes really need to have a seat at the table when those decisions are being made, Robert. And so we want to be able to have that information for these tribal nations. And also, when they need technical assistance, as in tribal development, energy development, workforce development, and economic development, that will all come with this. I don't think we're right there yet, where everybody understands how important energy is going to be to our lives in the near future. You just seen a report from the Xcel Energy saying that they are going to substantially raise their electricity rates to their customers. And so I think in the near future, people are going to understand how important electricity is going to be, because we're going to be electrifying everything, to vehicles, our homes, you know, you name it, everything is going to be electrified. And so right now, I think they're saying like we're going to need about five times more electricity, something like that. Mm-hmm. That we're currently using in the state of Minnesota. I mean, so we're talking about a big push for renewables, outlay of other energy resources. But it's going to get very real, real quick, Robert. And climate change is not going to help our situation. So we got to continue to move forward with everything that we have.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And that's, geez, another great report from the Solar Bear, from the Solar News. Appreciate that. And we'll have to bring that up and then get an update, too. Well, Bob, we got like 6 minutes here, 7 minutes here. Let's get down to what's really important to us, and that's NFL football. Oh, wow. No, just kidding.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Robert. You know, it looks like Christian Darrisaw and that offensive line is going to be healthy here. Everybody's going to be on there. They brought in Ryan Kelly and some other folks, Brian Kelly and some of these other guys, all pros. So they really beefed up that line for J.J. McCarthy. Probably they're saying the best line in the NFL right now. So yeah. Kevin O'Connell, Kwesi Adolfo, like, let's give props out to those guys for really putting together a heck of a squad. We always say that the secondary is always the weak point for the Vikings, but you know, it's Brian Flores, and I mean, you're talking about probably the best coaching duo in the NFL between Brian Flores and Kevin O'Connell. So you know, if that's our weak point, if the secondary is our weak point, and you know, Harrison Smith's back there, the veteran, I'm okay with that. I feel confident in that.
So, well, it's interesting, too. It looks like Detroit has major flaws now. Green Bay, I think Chicago's new head coach was Detroit's offensive coordinator. Is that right? And now Detroit has no offense. and Green Bay put it to him.
Yeah, it's their offensive coordinator moved on to Ben Johnson, I believe his name is. He moved on to be the head coach for the Chicago Bears. And then Aaron Glenn moved on to coach who was the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, is now the head coach for the New York Jets.
What?
So, yeah. So you've got both of your head coaches, both of your masterminds leave the organization, and then they didn't do some key signings too. And then some people lost some people to free agency. So, yeah, feel bad for Detroit. If there was their time, it was last year.
I love that.
I think the division's going to go down Minnesota, Green Bay, Detroit, and Chicago. Chicago's going to have a good season too. I mean, here's the reality of the situation, Robert. the NFC North is probably the toughest division in the NFL. I mean, the most competitive. So they're literally going to beat up on each other.
Yeah. Well, I have to say this, and we kind of knew this with all these quarterbacks coming to Minnesota during our head coach's time, that he has to be one of the best head coaches out there. And then you didn't see him get mad or anything on the sidelines with the first three quarters of really ineptness. He let his players play and knew that, felt confident that they'd be able to pull it off. And dang, if they didn't, unbelievable. JJ was unbelievable for one quarter. It was unbelievable. I was like bummed out, ready to change the station.
Well, you know, and I mean, you think about Kevin O'Connell and his past of, you know, being Tom Brady's backup, right? Yeah. Being at the New England Patriots, you know, winning over there. So he knows what it's like to win. Being under Sean McVay out in Los Angeles, you know, he won under Sean McVay. They call Kevin O'Connell the quarterback whisperer, you know. And, I mean, look at Daniel Jones. He's playing for the Indiana Colts this year. But he probably had the best Sunday this last week out of all of NFL quarterbacks. And he was a quarterback here with Minnesota Vikings. And then Sam Darnold now is out in Seattle. They had a, you know, pretty decent outing. So, I mean, all these ex-quarterbacks played for Kevin O'Connell are now out there playing somewhere else. It's got to say something about the guy, right?
There's only one that really isn't playing, and he went to Atlanta, and he's on the bench right now making a lot of money. That's the only one that maybe he couldn't help.
But let's look at what happened here, though. I mean, you know, this kid, you know, J.J. McCarthy, he kept his posture. There's stories of him through the first three quarters that he was keeping the team loose, like, we're going to make a comeback here. And sure enough, did he not do it right here at the end of the quarter, or the fourth quarter, to really show some poise and to really show, like, hey, he's the real deal. So I'm all in on J.J. McCarthy. Max Rosner. I'm telling you, Robert, Minnesota's got a really good team.
I got to tell you, JJ, I heard a stat that since high school, he's 65-3. That's his record.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, this kid, I mean, he is going to do really good for us. He's got all the tools. He's got the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, the best duo we have, Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson. And then we've got Hockenson there at the tight end.
Yeah.
And then we've got Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason in the backfield. I mean, I just feel like all the pieces are there for this guy to just dump the ball off and do a Tom Brady. I really do. And let's remake the connection here, Robert. Tom Brady went to Michigan. JJ McCarthy went to Michigan. I mean, you know, Jim Harbaugh, he said it. He goes, we might got the next Tom Brady.
Hey, who are we playing this next week, and what's your prediction?
We're playing the Atlanta Falcons, everybody, Sunday night at 7:20 p.m. at U.S. Bank Stadium. Everybody get ready for this. This is going to be a great game. I'm so excited, Robert. I'm going to be out with the guys. We're going to be watching it. It's going to be a great time.
Geez, I was hoping you'd invite me to your suite, but I guess you're going to
Robert. You're invited to the lucky 13.
There you go. Hey, what's the score going to be? The score?
I don't think it's going to be as close as everybody thinks it is, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to say 27 to 21.
There you go. Hey, there you go, you guys. Native Roots Radio. We'll see you tomorrow. Ho-wah. Thanks, Bob.
News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
We're joined at 5 p.m. by Wisconsin Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ryan Sternad. We dig into why he's running and what he proposes for Wisconsin's future.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Never-Clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Authorities in Utah have released more details about the man who they say shot and killed conservative activist Charlie Kirk Wednesday at Utah Valley University. ABC's Matt Gutman says authorities believe the 22-year-old Tyler Robinson arrived on campus several hours before the shooting and changed his clothes.
Police say before the shooting, Robinson appears to walk with a stiff right leg, and that his ability to bend his right leg appears to be restricted. Law enforcement sources believe Robinson was hiding his long gun under his clothing, which explains why he was walking that way.
He'll appear in court Tuesday. Authorities in Chicago say an ICE agent pulled over a vehicle Friday and the driver took off, dragging the agent who shot and killed the driver. Homeland Security says the officer is in stable condition. Missouri lawmakers approved a new congressional map more favorable to Republicans, and Secretary of State Marco Rubio heading to Israel where strikes on high-rises in Gaza continue. This is ABC News. The FAA has slapped Boeing with a $3.1 million fine for safety violations, as ABC's Alex Stone.